What is up, glorious humans of the internet? Welcome to another episode of the Teamability No Excuses podcast, where we bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. Chad, Andy, Brett gathered around our tables. I don't care who says hi first. I say that every week now. It's becoming a thing. So somebody say hi.
Yo.
What's happening? I'm knackered.
Yeah, so full disclosure, internet, if you're a regular listener, you know that the word full disclosure shows up quite a bit on our podcast. It is 9:27 on a Sunday night as we record, and Brett, in our little pre-talk here just before we hit record, admitted that he was knackered, and I think that means he's sleepy, but either that or he's hungry. I don't know.
Or I've had too much to drink.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
But no, I'm legitimately just exhausted.
All right. Well, what's got you so sleepy, Bretzky?
Oh, I drove up to the cottage after work on Friday, and then I came back this afternoon and sat in traffic for 4.5 hours and went to go visit Alexandra. And she said, come on in. And full disclosure about that is that she doesn't live in an accessible house with her folks. So
admit you cut out there. She does.
She does not live in an accessible building or a house with her folks.
All right, we can't live in bungalows with our mother. But anyway,
that's true too. And Andy, you're cruising. But
We are a minute and 48 seconds in, and Andy is cruising for a bruising. It's going to be a good one tonight, boys.
No. I didn't say he was cruising for a bruising. I just said he was cruising.
Oh, fair enough.
He knows better than to add the last part.
Yeah, fair enough. He's still scared of you from our days on the ice. I see what it is.
A couple questions, Brett. Thomas Wills.
I love that you emphasized my first name. It warms my heart.
Doesn't it make you feel important when people do that?
Absolutely not. I think you're being super condescending, but that's a story for a different day.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that at least. So my question is your cottage winterized, or did you go up to close it, or are you just seeing how the weather goes?
This weekend – we went up because my brother had a buddy who's been parking his boat up there for most of August, and he was supposed to move it. And I thought it would be a great excuse to go fishing because the pickerel really bite in October. Again, full disclosure, the fish don't bite in this stupid river. Unless you put dynamite in it, which I'm looking for if anybody knows of any. So my brother and his buddy were supposed to come up to pull the boat out. And I got up there around 7:30 Friday night. And my mom said, Tanner just called and he's not coming up because he's come down with a fever. And we all know that COVID is happening and a fever quite possibly could be one of the symptoms. And so he didn't want to risk it. Well, my niece had a COVID test earlier in the week. Her test came back negative. She's 5. So she's a trooper for getting the test done because I found it super evasive when I got mine done back in July.
I have to jump in there, Bretzky, for a second to say that my oldest son, who also had one done that came back negative, said it wasn't anywhere near as bad as he was expecting. So that was from my almost 13-year-old.
Yeah, but you know what? He's a pylon, and like they're tough as nails.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he probably grew up with horror stories from the ER from Crystal.
From his mother, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. he's like, anyway,
so
walk in the park, man.
So the boat wasn't pulled out, and I literally spent the entire weekend inside binging Netflix, trying not to freeze my AWS off. Because it was cold up there. You go 2.5 hours north and go figure. It's 5 degrees cooler.
So we figured out why you went up there. Are you closing it off for the summer or?
Andy, I apologize. It is winterized. We will probably be up there sometime during the winter. I'm super excited. I'm not so excited for the winter drives up that 400 and Highway 11 because they can be treacherous at times, but I've got some holidays coming up that I need to use up, so we'll have to wait and see what's in store.
Very cool.
So I want to jump back to you said, Bretzky, that you went and had a visit with Alex and her family at her non-accessible home. And since this is a podcast where we bring real talk to matters of disability, why don't you tell us about any obstacles you might have faced there with visiting the girlfriend and her parents?
So my plan was to come by and her place and say hello because I hadn't seen her for a week anyway. But when I got there, she said, "Get out of the car." Okay. So I got out of the car. And she said, "Come with me." And I honestly thought that I was going to be murdered with an axe. But we went to the backyard. And full disclosure, she sent me a picture of her dad's ramp that he built. He spent the afternoon building a ramp to the back door.
Just today?
Apparently just today.
Well, then I guess it's a really good thing that you chose to go inside. Like, I mean, you'd be a dick if you didn't.
Well, I mean, I am a dick, and I don't want people to think that I'm a nice guy.
You have a reputation to maintain after all, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. He's pretty handy. He did a pretty good job. It's a little steep, but I mean, we managed to make it work, and we're going to continue to manage to make it work. He's also a car guy, and instead of spending $100 on getting my snow tires put on, I'm going to take it over to his place sometime in December and get my snow tires on. So,
December? Why not do it at the end of October?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Andy, I don't have a wife and two kids, so I'm pretty busy with my life.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say you like to live dangerously. Like,
well, I do. That's why I don't have a wife and two kids. I
see. He's on fire. He's on fire tonight. He's bringing the good stuff.
Let's backtrack just so our listeners are up to speed. The lovely Alexandra is not a wheelchair user, so the house doesn't necessarily need to be accessible, correct?
That is accurate. She's got I'll call it a bachelor apartment in the basement of her parents' place. Literally, there's it's a full apartment down in the basement.
But so she really doesn't want to see you at her apartment then, hey?
Well, it's funny because, and I don't know how much I should be telling you guys, but I don't care. It's been told to me by her parents as well. When I started seeing her, apparently her parents were investigating how to put either a wheelchair lift or an elevator into the house.
Wow, you guys don't mess around.
Yeah, they must really like you or something.
Well, and that's the thing. Am I easily likable or do people not like me? Because I'm very confused.
You're a polarizing individual, Brett Wills.
Well, and that's what I like to hear.
It's one extreme or the other with you.
Yeah. No. You're not going to get any middle ground because, I mean, either I really love you or I really hate you.
I want to kind of jump back to the thought of Alexandra's dad whipping you up a ramp so that you could get in the house today. Like, that's pretty rad. I don't imagine that was a quick thing. Like, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to get a couple sheets of plywood and have you being, falling through this ramp. He probably did a decent job for you.
Yeah, I mean, so he took one of those standard metal ramps, and but he reinforced it a little bit with some more wood. It's pretty sturdy. It's a little steep, but I mean, we're gonna make it work for the time being.
Yeah, I don't imagine it was up to code. But so what did that? I mean, are you getting pushed from behind to navigate the slope of the ramp then to get in the house?
Yes, and I'm being pushed down it by Alexandra when she's ready for me to leave.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you go meet your girlfriend's parents. Was it a meet the parents type moment? Shout out to Ben Stiller, or was it more a meet the Fockers?
Shout out to Robert De Niro.
Was it somewhere, somewhere in the middle? How was it?
And I've used this phrase a few times already tonight, so excuse me, internet. I'm on cliches or whatever you want to call it. But full disclosure, Alexander's grandfather passed away in the last few months, and I felt it was necessary or appropriate to go pay my respects. So literally I had met her mom for a minute in the driveway a few weeks before, but I met her dad the night that I went to go pay my respects to her grandpa for a minute. And then tonight, or this afternoon, I showed up and we sat and we talked for 40 minutes. And as I'm leaving, Alexander walked me to my car. She said to me point blank, he's never talked to any of my previous boyfriends for longer than 2 minutes. And I sat and I had a 40-minute conversation with him.
Well, I'd say that's a positive thing. I think maybe he just felt bad if he were to push you down the ramp that he just built for you.
I don't think there's any sympathy there.
Yeah, but I think maybe like at that point he's like, I just built this jerk a ramp. I may as well talk to him a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Well, I don't think he knows that I'm a jerk yet.
Well, you said he listens to the podcast, and you've said tonight at least 3 times that you're a jerk. So,
yeah, but I think there's a difference between podcast Brett and real life Brett. I mean, Andy, I doubt you think so because I treat you like shit no matter what. But I mean, I treat Chad pretty good.
From time to time, yeah, you're quite right.
I like his family quite well, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think I've been cordial with Amanda every time I've met her, the 4 times in how many ever years I've known you.
Fair enough. I don't know what to say here because I think we will go down a road that we don't necessarily want to. So,
hey, listen, I go down rabbit holes every single day. So,
well, I just mean I don't know that people want to listen to us talk about how much we like or don't like each other.
But I mean, I think there might be something to be said about, like the listeners. And we were joking around because we did take a kind of an unplanned but well-needed kind of extended break from recording and pumping out content. And we've noticed as we go back and are looking at some of our listens, even if they are Alex, all of them, but or most of them, but we've noticed it's been picking up steam, so it's kind of nice to have the support there. I wanted to circle back to something I said earlier. I heard from my good buddy, one of the last episodes that we published was with my good friend and colleague Sean Radigan, the EA from my school, and so he called me up maybe the next day after we published the episode. And he says, I just want to say thank you for having me on the podcast. I was like, oh man, you don't got it. That's cool. Like that was planned. Like no problem. He goes, hang on a second. He puts his mom on the phone. So I got to talk to Mrs. Radigan that night. And she thanked me for having her son on the podcast. Turns out Sean was having a little listening party for himself. He just gathered the family around the stereo or the Bluetooth speaker or whatever, and put the podcast on. So thanks for spreading the word, buddy.
Hey, have you met his mom before?
No, I have never met her face to face. Yeah, still haven't.
So when you said this, that's the first thing that popped into my head was, how did they listen? Must have had Bluetooth speakers or something.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it's super cool that he's that proud, pumped up, amped, however you want to say it. But his story is so unique and just incredible. I think we have a platform that we can share his story, so let's do it. And I said the day we recorded, I'm a little bit upset that we waited so long to do it. And your story just kind of reminds me of like prior to TV days, everybody would listen to radio shows, right?
So, yeah. You know, I don't know, because to my knowledge, I don't know if Sean has a Bluetooth speaker. He's the kind of guy that would like – get a coffee mug and just turn up his volume real loud and sit his phone inside a coffee mug and like make everybody like gather around the dining room table to listen to this thing. So who knows, man, but if you're interested, if you missed that, if you're listening tonight and you missed that, you can go back and check that out. It's episode 47 as we, I think, are currently taping episode 49. It's been quite a ride, boys.
In all seriousness, I think Sean is amazing. I love the fact that he gathered people to listen to the podcast. He wasn't like, check out the link. He's like, come to my house. We're going to listen together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it went. And I mean, he called me from his house and he just said, you know, hang on a second. And then he just handed the phone to his mom. And I had probably a 5-minute conversation with his mom. So hello, Mrs. Radigan, you're a wonderful lady. it was fantastic to like, she was so complimentary. First of all, for us having her son on the podcast, but also she, you know, told me that I had a future in radio. I said, no, I have a face for radio. That's what that is.
Sean, we love you. Mrs. Radigan, thanks so much for listening to us. We're silly as hell sometimes, but we all three of us have one big heart.
So was she happy? Was she like just regular? Was it a regular conversation?
It was. It was a very very easy conversation and very kind of joyous. Yeah, she spent a bulk of our brief conversation thanking me for giving Sean a platform to sort of share his incredible story. And you said it, Andy. And again, if you're listening and don't know what we're talking about, go back and check that out, because Sean's got a story that is something out of a movie. So she's thanking me for giving him the chance to share his story, and then also just continued to talk to me a bit about how much she has enjoyed listening to the podcast and the banter between the three of us schmucks. So it was a pretty good one.
That's really cool. So I guess we kind of now know why he was asking you literally every day when I was going to be out.
Yeah. No kidding, eh?
No, guys, for real, I was on a podcast. Like, I promise.
Yeah, and he's just waiting to plan his listening party, and feeling more and more like a liar as we delayed on releasing his episode. Yeah.
Well, for that I apologize. That's on me. But, no, so With all the restrictions now, do you see him on a regular basis, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's very different. I've talked openly about how different our building is. You know, we're cohorted with these group of students, and I tend to still, because, and I think I've mentioned to you guys and on the podcast that I'm not currently even doing a music class. I'm currently doing a grade 10 religion class that'll be finished this week. Here is the last full week, which is insane to think about that we're, you know, kids will be done their first class and have their first credit after, you know, 23 instructional days. Pretty insane. But I still manage to go into the music room at breaks, and I will still he will come and see me there, or he'll pass by my religion room. He's figured out where that is. I can't hide it from him. So he's more often than not, I will see him walking one of our special needs students around the building, or we'll pass each other on the lunch break or whatever the case may be. So yeah, I still, whether I want to see him or not, I get to see him at work. He has to look a little harder to see me because, you know, brain damage.
Well, yeah.
And again, if that makes me sound like a jerk, go back and listen to that episode and everything will make sense.
Okay. Yeah, man, Sean is awesome. I have met him a couple times when I have to listen to you play music, but you're keeping up with your workouts a little bit.
I am a little tougher during the work week to try to get there around 4 o'clock after work for an hour. But I was in the gym this morning. I was in the gym Saturday morning, and so it's nice to be keeping it up. Like I said, I don't see it. You know, obviously some routines have to change, but I certainly don't see myself stopping. I'm in a good routine and feeling good about myself, starting to see some results, wearing a smaller shirt size, you know. So the bummer of that is it's not a bad problem to have, but when you start replacing your clothes or having to replace your clothes because they're too big, it's a pretty cool problem to have.
No, man, just bring back the hip hop look.
Yeah, just wear it all baggy. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Set some trends. Well, listen, man, all honesty, the only thing I know about what you're doing is what you post.
Well, you two have a really good relationship if you're not talking about his workout routine.
Well, we've talked about it. He doesn't – like, honestly, this is what happened. I get a text, what kind of intervals do you do for your battle ropes?
Yeah.
So I told him, and then I called him to make sure his phone wasn't stolen. But
but you know what? You also tend to make a habit of calling him out.
Well, maybe that's why he doesn't talk. I don't know. But
well, then he's onto something, I think.
My program is not really – I couldn't call it a program. I just kind of do the – you know, I make sure that I start on some machines, and then I move over to the free weights, and then I end with the battle ropes. That's my program. The ropes, though, have become very much a part of the routine. I love doing it at the end and getting a great sweat. When we first chatted with that text where you thought my phone was stolen, you know, you would sort of encourage me to get to 10 minutes of high intensity interval training. When I first started, I had a hard time doing 5, worked my way up to 10, and now I'm doing 15. So I don't know. I don't even know if that's a good thing, but I'm doing it and I'm sweating more and, I'm liking it.
Listen, I was out with the family, and, I'm in my wheelchair. And I hear my name from behind me, and I turn around, and it's a buddy that I used to go to high school with. I know him pretty well, but we just, life happens and you lose touch. And so it didn't take long to say, hey, how's it going, whatever, catch up. And he says, I follow you on Facebook, and I just got to say, you're pretty inspirational. And I just kind of shrugged it off, laughed. I said, come on, like, I'm just being me. And it's a guy that I knew pretty well in high school, and he said, relax, Rick Hansen. I'm just saying we're the same age, and you look like you look, and I look like I look. So learn how to take a compliment. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was very, very comical.
All right, listen, Bretzky, I want to circle back, and we'll get to Andy and his journey through being a student again, and we'll see what's going on there from the last time we chatted. But meeting today with Alex and her folks, and the rest of it is just what? Is it work grind? Is it how? What's it like? I mean, there was obviously a period of time where we were all off. I'm now back in full swing, and have been for quite some time. Andy has been working remotely and then back at the office and all kinds of stuff. You probably had the longest period of time of kind of just having that time to yourself. Are you missing it terribly? Are you back into full swing now where you're just robotically going to work? What's it looking like for you?
I'm excited to be exploring my options as of this past Friday. I'm still working, but it's cool because, I mean, I recognize that unless you work for a government agency or whatever, you're probably not going to be sitting in the same job for 30 years or whatever. And that's cool. I never assumed that I'd be working for the same company for 30 years. I'm exploring the opportunity to go back to school and possibly be looking into taking a paid internship. I've been pushed in the direction of a couple of things in the last 7 days, and I'm a strong believer that the universe aligns itself when it's good and ready. And so the last 7 months have been they haven't been terrible. And they really have not been terrible. Everybody knows I've been sitting at my cottage, and then I went back to work in September. And good for me, but it may be time to find something else. And that's good. I just makes me feel like I'm diversifying my portfolio, so to speak.
That's a great corporate word. Well done, Bretzky. Well done. I think there is, something to be said about, and you've said it before, the last time we met around the mic here, a lot's changed. The people are awesome at work. But I mean, the thought of you having to, we joked around lightheartedly about, the thought of you having to wheel around with a bucket, to sanitize things and whatever. And COVID has changed the game for so many people. But I want to circle back just off the cuff here. You said something. I feel like you, and it's kind of getting lost on me now, but I feel like you said something about last Friday. Or was there a moment at work where you're like, okay, I need to start looking elsewhere? Was there kind of a tipping point or a kind of a catalyst for that?
Yeah, I genuinely think that it started the first day that I came back. My job title hadn't changed, but the duties of my job have all changed. I literally don't have anything that I was doing before on my job description, which is fine, but there's some things that I feel are suspect in terms of a safety issue.
Sure, sure.
And then there's some stuff that I feel like I'm not getting adequate training for. It's my opinion that if you're going to train somebody, training should come from management, and training right now is coming from a coworker who whether it's right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't think he's got time to train me in an adequate manner. So he's just doing it quick and going back to doing his job. And I have no ill will or ill feelings towards my employer right now. I really don't. Grateful for the opportunity. I just think that sometimes you need to explore your options, move on, and not mope or sulk about it. I mean, I think I've been candid quite often in the last 6 months, Chad, where I've said when COVID hit that I probably thought originally back in March that I was going to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
And realistically, yeah, I've had 3 to 5 really bad moments in the last 6 months that I can recall. But I've done a hell of a lot better than I thought I was going to. And I will attribute that to perspective, and I will attribute that to the people that I surround myself with my immediate family, with my girlfriend, with you two schmucks holding me accountable for not only how I act or how I am. I've done quite well.
Well, you said something there, Brett, a couple minutes ago, which resonated with me, and just because I have made no bones about how blessed I am in my career, first of all, to love my job, but second of all, to have the ability to have that security. And there are a few jobs like that left where you could, work, for one company or in one place for that period of time. And I've been very open about, the fact that I love my job and I love being where I am. I get to teach in my old high school with my old teachers, having, one of my biggest mentors in my life be the guy who started it all for me. The reason I wanted to become a teacher is now my teaching partner and colleague here. And, I've got a great little situation at work, but I'm aware, obviously, that those situations where you're in the same place for an extended period of time, it's really changing. And I think, you kind of just said it. And the more I listen to you talk about it, it could just be, it's time for a new season of Brett Thomas Wills. So I'm pretty stoked to see whatever that means for you, man. I know that I'm not going anywhere, and I'm excited to see what comes next for you.
And I appreciate that. And I always thought that I'd be probably doing the same thing for my entire life if I ever did find a job, and then I realized that nope, that's not the way things work out.
And I was going to say, I don't think you need to feel, I don't think you do, but I don't think there's any shame in, like, nobody does that anymore. I mean, teaching is a career like that. And even then, we've got situations like this, this pandemic we're living in where, I've got good friends that have had, 12 years as, for example, an elementary music teacher, and are now finding out that those entire programs have been switched for this year and they're not going to be offered in schools. And so after 12, 13, 14 years, these guys are being asked not only to go back into the classroom in a homeroom environment, but to transition to, hey, we need you to be an online teacher. We need you to be teaching in an online environment, some 30 to 40 kids who are all choosing to not have face-to-face instruction, right? And it's so crazy and so different. And, I've said before, it's like everything that we knew and almost that we got complacent or comfortable with about education has been changed. And I think that that's rubbed a lot of people in not some negative ways, but it's scared a lot of people because I think teachers naturally sometimes are control freaks, and there's nothing that we can do to, you know, this is completely out of our control. Is mitigated by started by something that we had no control over. You know, I'm so blessed to be back face to face with students after, you know, leaving work on March 13th for March break and never and not going back for that entire school year. So it's different. So different for everybody, so different for the staff. I can't imagine how incredibly different it must feel for the students, especially at the energy of our school, just to see everything, you know, all the buzz of the building, the excitement of the building is kind of just gone. It kind of feels like a ghost town because, you know, you're cohorted with your students and students are in the same room, the same classroom for hours at a time just to ensure their own safety. And so it's just a different place all around. But man, I can be totally understanding of, you know, when, you know, you could, we can use cliches around it and say when one door closes, another door opens, whatever the case may be. But also as a faith guy, I think that, you know, God brings us to these points, where he's ready to open these doors for us and for us to take the next step. And maybe that's you, buddy.
Well, and I mean, I envy you in a way because you're following something that I think you've always wanted to do, or you realized that at a pretty young age that you wanted to do it. And I mean, Andy's the same way. He's doing the whole the personal training thing. And I mean, I'm sitting and I 5 years ago, I just wanted a job. Now I'm at a point where I think I can bend a little bit and maybe go back to school because I have an opportunity to experience something that I've wanted to do since I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I mean, I think it's probably a little late in hindsight because I'm 36 years old and I mean, Freedom 55 or Freedom 105, depending on how you look at it. Realistically, I want to be happy with what I'm doing. I don't want to stress out. I want to be able to go home every day and say, yeah, I really enjoyed the day. I made a difference in somebody's life because I made somebody smile. Just right now, the monotony of what I'm doing is so mind-numbing. And just there's no reward right now. So, I mean, I'm being optimistic. I continue to love life because there's so many things going right for me. Again, like you just said, when one door closes, another opens, yeah, or God will show me the way. And so God is showing me that I need to take a breather, maybe take a little bit of a break and regroup in January. And that's fantastic. I'm really, really excited for what's in store.
That's fantastic, man. I am very excited to see what comes next for you, whatever that means. I think that, you know, again, you touched on something there. You know, Andy and I are both blessed to have a lot of joy in what we do. And I'm not saying that there's no joy in, you know, kind of monotonous factory work, but I often wonder, again, as a person of faith too, I think that we are all gifted uniquely, for a reason, right? And when we can start pursuing the things that we are passionate about and turning them into our careers, that's when we can really, really take off. So, man, if you can have something line up for you that way, that would be pretty terrific. It'd be neat to see you follow in the footsteps of Andrew Palmore. Hey, here's a question for you, Andy. If Brett follows in your footsteps, does he have to drag one foot?
Well, the fact that I can walk and the two of you can't, I don't even want to answer that question.
Fair enough. You win.
I think we just found our offside moment for the night.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Before we even got there, the offside went to Chad for something that he said, and also to Chad for speaking in third person.
So is there any hesitation? You're like, what's your thought process here, Brett?
We all know, again, I've been candid and transparent. I've been seeing Alexandra for the last 3 months. And so we talked last week, and I said to her, do we have time that we can sit down and go through my resume and cover letter and just apply for this stuff? So we're going to do that next week. Maybe even as early as Monday, because we're spending some time together over the Thanksgiving holidays.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, as somebody who has a few years on you, a couple years on you, maybe somewhere in between those two general numbers, I would say that it's never too late to start over. And I would say you're in a better position than I am, even though I'm just a couple years older. You still have a lot of what am I trying to say here?
Andy, I think
I already have a family, and I have dependents, and my wife has been gracious enough to say, yeah, make that move, because I think in the long run it will be better. But so in that respect, depending on how things go with your better half, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx anything for you, but you're already, what did I say, ahead of the game in that respect. So I would say if you're going to make a move, now is the time to do it, I think.
Yeah, the good news is like you said, like you've got some dependents and you require a little bit more responsibility in terms of quote unquote bringing in the bacon. Right now I don't really have that responsibility yet. I mean, I'd like to, but I have the opportunity or the option.
No, yeah, that's exactly my point. I think
sit back for a minute. So I think I'm going to sit back for a minute and just see where life takes me. Whether it's going to take me 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, whatever.
Yeah, and then we're not in this. I think this is going to become a theme of the podcast, but I think there's not too many people that give Chad as much shit as I give Chad, but to his credit, he's had his plan mapped out for a very long time. And I'm not that fortunate. You're not that fortunate. So the 2/3 of the tripod here, we're just figuring it out as we go. So
are you feeling okay?
Am I feeling okay?
Oh, yeah. You mean because it was being complimentary to me?
No, you just called us the tripod. You hate that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, I mean, we got to come up with some sort of nickname, and I don't like the one that you gave us. So.
It's the greatest wrestling faction name of all time.
Yes, but, yes.
We'll leave it at that. We spent a good portion of our last lecture talking about how there's a whole take back the word or take back the phrase, however you want to say it, movement within the disability community, right? So words like cripple, and there were other ones too, but exactly what you were saying when we talked about this on the podcast, like if you have a disability and you're okay being called whatever it is, then that's fine. So I thought that was kind of neat. And I think I shot you guys a message saying a lot of the things that we talk about in the podcast, we're talking about in the class. A lot of it is political correctness, and we don't really do that. So on that part, we fail. But
yeah, interesting to follow the next step in your journey, Bretzky, whatever it is. And if it is following in Andy's footsteps and going through the same accessible media program, it'll be interested to see and hear about your forte into the political correctness discussion, because as much as we try not to be PC on the podcast, and as much as Andy is not PC, I would think that you're, of the three of us, are probably the least PC. So it'll be fun to see what that looks like for you.
Well, Chad, the good news is that I don't have 4 years to go get my degree and then another year or two to go get a teaching degree. So I'm following in Andy's footsteps, not necessarily because I want to, but because this seems to be an easy way to go get something that I want. Not to suggest that it's easy, because I know that Andrew works extremely hard and has worked extremely hard. But like I keep saying, it's an opportunity that has fallen into my lap and it looks inviting. So,
well, one thing I could say, Bretzky, is that, you know, and thank you very much, Andy, for the complimentary words towards my career choice. And it even obviously was longer than I would have wanted. You know, I didn't think I'd be, you know, 30 years old getting, you know, to be 30 and get a full-time permanent was pretty great. It happens younger sometimes for some people. And for me to already had my family established by that point, it was great timing for all that to happen. But I'm also, you know, very cognizant of the fact that, as you guys have alluded to, sometimes a career is not as clear as it was for me. And I've known what I wanted to do since I was 16 and chased the dream and got there. But I also know that, you know, that it's kind of few and far between these days to find a career, get the career, and stay kind of in one place or in one lane for, you know, 20, 30 years until retirement. So whatever it looks like for you, man, whatever the next step is, I'm all in to follow your journey and support you, because I think that, you know, we have to a certain degree, as Andy has modeled as well in his life, is like, you know, you got to make your, when you can make your passions line up with your career, you're doing something right. So I'm excited to see what that means for you, Bretzky.
Yeah, without giving too much away, because you're going to jump. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to apply, you're going to get it. But the scope of what you can do after you get this, after you complete the course, like you can do production, like behind the scenes, you can do marketing, you can do on-air talent if that's what you want. Like they set you up to succeed, right? So there's a job placement at the end of the program. And throughout the course, they're working to try to see where you're going to fit, right? So one of the things we had to do was just submit like a little survey saying, where do you want to be at the end of this course?
We've been going for a while. It's getting kind of late, but I know I got to throw to Andy for a second for our way to close off. Usually we do it with an offside, but I know, Andy, you are deeply invested in the world of Paw Patrol, and I never thought I would say this, but there is now a connection between Paw Patrol and the world of disability, and it's probably lending itself well to a brief discussion here on the podcast. So take it away, Andrew Paul.
Yeah, that connection you speak of is not just the fact that my daughter watches it and her father has a disability. So
it's even better than that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. This new season, I think it's 7. They introduced a character with one of the pups using a wheelchair. I guess his two hind legs don't work, and so he's got the little wheelie system. But anyways, the we're not going offside. This is actually a good thing. We've talked about I think Mattel made a Paralympic athlete, and we kind of said we thought they found an athlete that just kind of fit the Barbie mold.
Yeah, yeah.
May or may not be true, but point being, like, society in general is just making a movement towards recognizing at least disabilities, whatever it is. And so the new Paw Patrol season comes on. And again, as a parent, of a child who watches it very regularly. I'll just put it that way. I don't want to say I get excited for the new season, but at least it's new. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of,
because you've seen all the other ones.
Yeah. So anyways, this pup rolls out in the intro, and right away she perks up and she's like, he's got a wheelchair. Like, you have a wheelchair. And, so we get through that episode, and then, she's like, I want to watch that again. And I was like, well, the new season just started. Let's go to the next episode at least. She's like, no, I want to watch it again. And she did that for a good probably half hour. And that kind of defeats the purpose of the new season, which I just spoke about, because then you're just watching the same ones over and over, right? So finally I said, Maya, why do you want to keep watching this one? And she said, well, because Rex has a wheelchair and you have a wheelchair and none of the other pups have a wheelchair. So I just want to keep watching this one. And I just said, well, I think Rex is going to be in more episodes. And it was a very... I don't know. You guys know I'm not very sentimental, but she may or may not, more likely may, already have the Rex toy with the wheelchair, and he's got his truck. And
that's amazing, man. I love that we are having an honest discussion about Paw Patrol on the team. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna try that again. The team, no excuses. Whatever the heck I just said. I love it. I love that we're talking about Paw Patrol on the podcast, Andy. It's pretty fantastic. But I think there's a lot to be said about representation, and especially for the market of Paw Patrol, you know, which are, you know, the age group. And my kids have been there. You know, I've watched my fair share of Paw Patrol as well. I think it's amazing to show kids at that age, to bring awareness and to normalize it for them so that they could see it. Pretty fantastic that you have a Rex toy in your house now. And so, you know, I'm just waiting until, you know, she starts trying to race Rex across the floor and beat Daddy in his wheelchair or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, the one flaw, I guess, the one, like, if I'm nitpicking, the pups all drop down into their vehicles. Right. So, Brad, I can't imagine you've seen the show, so you can just visualize it as I tell you.
I may have watched an episode or two of Paw Patrol.
Oh, well, there you go. So they all drop down into their vehicles, but when Rex is on the mission, and again, I can't believe I'm doing so well at explaining this, but when Rex is on the mission, they put him on the floor so that his vehicle... the ramp can drop down, and then he can wheel up the ramp into his vehicle. But he can just as easily drop in like everybody else. But they have to showcase the ramp, right? So that's the only drawback. That's the only negative, I would say. But it's not even a negative. But when I pointed that out, my very quick-witted 3-year-old said, well, he still needs to use the ramp to get out, Dad. So
she's got it figured out. You're not getting past Maya Moore.
Yeah, it's scary. I think 3 is bad. Wait till 13, man.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, I am maybe not tonight because, you know, I got to get ready for a work day in the morning. But I'm going to be at least YouTubing the new character of Paw Patrol and maybe even pulling it up on Netflix to show Colby, because he's 5. But I'm pretty sure he'd still be into seeing something like that. Pretty neat, again, to have that representation, especially age-appropriate representation that normalizes things for kids, because, you know, that can can start the conversation moving forward, which is pretty great. Listen, boys, it's been a slice. We've been here for a while, so we're going to let Bretzky get to bed. If you're interested in what we do and you like what we do, if you're listening for the first time, hello, how are you? Go back and listen to all the old episodes. They are available on any major podcatching device of your choice. On behalf of my crew, Brett and Andy, we are the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, and I'm saying goodnight so Bretzky can go to bed. Cheers.